Jr. Sermon title, Be Prepared. Scripture is Matthew 24, verses 42 through 44. And the scripture reader, Bob Bowen. Presiding at the Lord's table, Jerry White. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Father, we're thankful for this time you've given us to come back for our evening worship service and for every opportunity, Father, that we have to serve thee. Thy blessing, Father, upon all who are here and upon those who had a desire to be here this evening but were unable. Be with us now, Father, in this service unto thee. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
First song will be number 813-813, Paradise Valley. After this, we'll be going to our Heavenly Father in prayer. As I travel through life with this trouble and strife, I have glorious hope to give cheer on the way. My hope will be o'er. And I'll rest on that shore where the night was then turned into day. Up in the beautiful Paradise Valley by the side of the River of Life. Up in the valley, the wonderful valley, we'll be free from all pain and all strife. With the rose-tinted garden neath the shade of the evergreen tree. How I long for the Paradise Valley, where the beauty of heaven I'll see. Though your garden is rare, it is not to compare with the flowers that bloom in the garden above. In a midst of a rose, sharing perfect sweet rose, 'tis a wonderful flower we love. Up in the beautiful Paradise Valley, by the side of the River of Life. I long for the Paradise Valley, where the beauty of heaven I'll see.
Would you bow with me for prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for the opportunity to gather here to praise you. We pray that everything we do here tonight would be correct in your sight. We pray that Brother Henry would have a ready recollection of the lesson that he's prepared for us. We pray that we may all have our mind such that we can learn and take something from this lesson, apply it to our daily lives. And these things we pray in your Son's name. Amen.
Let us mark 858. 858 will be the song of invitation this afternoon. Hark the gentle voice. 858, let us mark that.
Before the lesson, we'll sing number 967. 967. Let us stand as we sing the song.
Glory, hallelujah, I still not be moved. Anchor in Jehovah, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the water. I shall not be moved. In his love abiding, I shall not be moved. And in his mind abiding, I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the water. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water, I shall not be moved. Though all hell assail me, I shall not be moved. Jesus will not fail me, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. Though the tempest rages, I shall not be moved. On the rock of ages, I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters. I shall not be moved.
Let's be seated.
Tonight's sermon is Be Prepared. It'll be by our brother Henry Davis Jr. And the scripture reading will be from Matthew chapter 24, verses 42 through 44. I'll be reading from the King James Version. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. And now, Brother Henry Davis Jr.
Thank you, Bob. Good evening, church. It's good to be with you this evening. Good to be able to bring another portion of the Lord's Word. Good to be able to have God has gotten me up this morning, gotten us up this morning, gotten us along with our day, and has brought us back safely this evening. If you're visiting with us this evening, we want to consider you our honored guest. We're so glad you chose to fellowship and worship with us this evening. And we ask that at the end of the service that you don't rush off. Give us an opportunity to meet you tonight. God is good always. Always God is good. If it's not for God, then I am nothing. We are nothing. I have to say this before I get into my lesson, though. I have never heard my name, Henry Davis Jr., mentioned so much, and I wasn't in trouble. You know, usually when they call you Henry, it's like they're looking for something that you can't provide. So it is always good to hear that, like I said, and be on this side of the law, I guess, is what you would say. Tonight, if you would indulge me for a minute, I want to start this evening with a little bit of biblical history, if I could. You know, there's a good reason behind it, believe me. So I want to be able to kind of get that just for a little bit of food for thought, if you will. If we go to Deuteronomy, chapter 7, just to paraphrase a little bit, it says there that Moses is speaking to the people of Israel, and he says, "The Lord your God will help you take the lead of the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. These seven nations have more people and are stronger than Israel. But when you attack them, the Lord will force them out of the land. Then you must destroy them without mercy. Don't make any peace treaties with them, and don't let your sons and daughters marry any of them. If you do, those people will lead your descendants to worship other gods and to turn their backs on the Lord. That will make him very angry, and he will quickly destroy Israel." Excuse me. It goes on to say in verse 5 of that same chapter, it says, "So when you conquer these nations, tear down their altars where they worship their gods, break up their sacred stones, cut down the poles that they use in worshiping the goddess Asherah, and throw their idols in the fire." Now, for you, Asherah is the Canaanite fertility goddess, the mother of Baal, the supreme Canaanite god of fertility, sun, and storm, for a little reference there. And then when we go to Deuteronomy 23, it reads, "No Ammonites and or Moabites or any of their descendants for 10 generations can become part of Israel, the Lord's people." So it's very clear right there that what the Old Testament is saying, to whom the Israelites were and were not to deal with, right? It says it right there. The enemies of the Lord's people at the time. And it's made very clear that the Israelites were not supposed to deal with these individuals. However, when we go to Matthew 1 and we look at the lineage of Jesus Christ, what do we see? We look at there, well. Look at what we see here. We see Boaz, whose mother was Rahab, a Canaanite woman. We see Obed, whose mother was Ruth, a Moabite woman, and also the wife to Boaz, who I just mentioned before. The sons of Judah, mother was Tamar, a Canaanite woman. And the mother of King Solomon, as we all know, was Bathsheba, the wife of the Hittite, Uriah. So what does this all mean? Is the Bible contradicting itself? Absolutely not. On the surface, it talks about the brotherhood of mankind as it is revealed into the lineage of Christ, in that what is in God's plan is that everyone is included in God's plan, even those who were once considered heavy adversaries. God can use anyone for his glory and for his purpose. If you go back, you can go back to the New Testament where Paul would say in 1 Timothy 1, starting at verse 12, "And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, although
although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save the sinners, who I am chief. However, for this reason, I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Now the King, eternal, immortal, invisible to God, who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever. So the whole adage here is that it's not where you start. It's not where you start. It's where you finish. And this is what we see right here in the Old Testament going into the New Testament. Jesus would say, those who are first will be last, and those who are last will be first. Many will be called, but few will be chosen. That's in Matthew 20 and 16. So what it is showing here is that wherever we start at, whatever we're going through, if God chooses to use us for his purpose, he's going to use us in spite of what the past looks like, in spite of what we thought we were, okay? When we thought Henry Davis Jr. was a bad word because you got in trouble every time you heard your real name. But it's not the case anymore, because God can use us for his purpose at any time. So it is vital for us that we are true believers and the followers of Jesus Christ, stay ready, remain steadfast in our faith, and always, always be prepared to give a defense to anyone, everyone, who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Be prepared. Be prepared. We were just talking over here. That used to be the Boy Scout model, right? I'm never sure what it is in this case anymore. They're not even called the Boy Scouts. They're called the Scouts. However, for the Scouts, these two words, be prepared, together had a very powerful meaning. To be prepared meant to always be in a state of readiness, in a mind and a body to do your duty. To be prepared in mind meant to, by having disciplined ourselves to be obedient to every order, and also by having thought out beforehand an incident or a situation that might occur, so that you might know the right thing to do at the right moment and are willing to do it. Being prepared in body is by making ourselves strong and active and able to do the right thing at the right moment and to do it. Scripturally, we can also add to this by saying, like what they have, what we see in 1 Peter 1 and 22, it says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of our brethren, love one another fervently and with a pure heart. So not only doing things that is obedient, but doing it with a loving, pure heart. So because we know that a lot of the principles of the Scouts, a lot of the practices were based upon biblical principles. So when we look at a passage of Scripture like 1 Peter or the Scripture that we have for this evening, it is basically giving us the instruction to be prepared, to be prepared. It says you don't know when the Lord is going to come. We don't know when the Lord is going to come. Scripture tells us that homeowners never know when a thief is coming, and they're always going to be on guard to keep them from breaking in. Always be ready. You don't know when the Son of Man is going to come. We don't know when the Son of Man is going to come. So the ultimate preparation for Christians is the coming of the Lord, the coming of the Lord, and being ready so we don't get passed by. So how does the Bible portray this? How does the Bible portray this being ready so we do not be passed by? Well, if we look at the book of Matthew, and we look at chapter 25, 1 through 13, we'll pass through this real quick. Jesus is telling the parable of the 10 maidens to his disciples to illustrate to illustrate proper preparedness. Jesus would say that the kingdom of heaven is like what happened one night when 10 young women took their oil lamps and went out to a wedding to meet the groom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 of them were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps with no extra oils. The ones who were wise took along extra oil for their lamps, and the groom was late arriving, and the young women became drowsy and fell asleep. Then in the middle of the night, someone shouted, "Here's the groom. Come to meet him." And when the women got up and started getting their lamps ready, the foolish women said to each other, "Let us have some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." And all the wise women answered, "There's not enough oil for all of us. Go and buy some for yourselves." While the foolish women were out getting some more oil, the groom arrived. The 5 were ready and went into the wedding and the doors were closed. Later, the others returned and shouted, "Sir, sir, open the door for us." But the groom replied, "I don't even know you." So he says to his disciples, "Always be ready. You don't know when the day or the time that this will happen." So now, that is thinking out every thought at hand. The wise maidens in this parable got extra oil because they did not know when the groom was going to come. So they prepared for when he did come. They didn't take anything for chance. Where the foolish women in this parable says, "Well, you know, we're going to throw it up against the wall and see what sticks." And what happens here is that they were left out. Having nothing left to chance is good preparation. The legendary coach John Wooden, who coached the UCLA Bruins from 1949 to 1975, in his 26-year career as a basketball coach, as a college basketball coach, he won an unprecedented 10 national championships. He coined the phrase, "Failure to prepare is preparing to fail." The Bible tells us that the plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty surely to poverty. That's Proverbs 21 and 5. So then, how does Christ want us to prepare? How does God tell us to prepare? Think about this. As we do with everything else on the earth, when we try to find time. We try to find time to do what? To practice. We try to find time to rehearse. We try to find time to refine. We try to find time to perfect or to work through or anything else. Or we go to the gym, right, and we get our reps in. Those kind of same kind of methods that we have here on earth that we do for our own personal lives, we need to make sure that we're doing to get closer to God's kingdom. Some of those same methods can apply to get closer to God's kingdom by repeatedly engaging with some of the same prayers, with some of the same scriptures that we gain deeper meaning that gradually unfold. A passage of scripture that might seem ordinary at first can reveal such profound insights when read and meditated upon regularly. I wonder how many times that's happened to you. I know how many times it's happened to me where you can read something over and over again and go, wait a minute. And I remember when we used to have our men's Bible study, we would read a passage of scripture that we started at 6 o'clock, and at 10 o'clock the wives was calling. We're talking about the same passage of scripture, but because you meditate on it and you think about it, a scripture as small as Jesus wept can have so much meaning than him shedding a few tears. A prayer that we pray night after night while we say pray without ceasing, because our prayers can find more deeper meaning. Because it's not all about what's going on the outside, on the surface. It's deeper than that when it comes to God's word. It's not all about getting a bill paid sometimes. Sometimes it's about what does that mean in the grand scheme of things? Where is that connected with somebody else? We don't know until we stay into our prayer, stay into the word, continuing to prepare ourselves and understanding how it is and what it is God wants us to do in his word. Study. 2 Timothy 2 and 15 tells us to study. Study to show ourselves approved. We have to study. That's another one of those words that is always about repetition, studying. How many of you stayed up all night long studying a test, getting ready for school? All right? Some of us did all-nighters. Studied the wrong chapter. That's another story for another day. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. How can you gain understanding if we're not talking to the Lord, if we're not humbling ourselves to Him? And then application. Application. Scripture tells us in James 1, 22 and 25, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. But he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. In other words, we have to obey God's message. Don't fool yourself into just listening to it. If you hear a message and you don't obey it, you're like people who stare at themselves in the mirror and forget what they look like as soon as they leave. But you must stop looking at the perfect law that sets you free. God will bless you in everything that you do if you listen and you don't and obey and don't just hear and forget it. See, we have to make sure that we are applying what we study, what we're living. It is a lifetime commitment. That preparation is necessary here on this earth. We don't want to be caught with, I never knew you. Constant spiritual preparation is vital. Why is it so vital? Well, for the obvious, it gets us closer to the kingdom of heaven. But more so here on this earth, the enemy challenges us all the time. He will not stop challenging us. The Bible says that in Luke 4 that the devil only left Jesus for a season. So if he was going to leave Jesus for a season, what do you think he's going to do with you or I? That meaning for us is always bound to appear to continue because he's going to be here to continue his mission to kill, steal, and destroy. So that we must remain ready and alert to know how to handle situations and circumstances just like Christ did. Philippians 2 and 5 tells us that. So listen, we need to be prepared. As the Boy Scout said so many years ago, be prepared. Again, 1 Peter 3 and 15 says, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense for anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. Gentleness and respect. And how do we do that? By walking in righteousness, as it says in Proverbs 21 and 21. And following the spiritual playbook, which is the Bible. Psalms 19, 119 and 105. Following the Word of God. Understanding the Word of God. Meditating on the Word of God. And putting on the whole armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes, so that we know what's going on. The Bible speaks plenty of false prophets and false teachers about people that want to skew the word, who wants to circumvent the word for what they can, so it can be for their own glory. Mankind is good for that. Mankind is good for that. Well, we don't do that anymore. We don't do that here. We don't do that here. But it's in the Bible right here, but that's not. You can go all day long on those sort of examples. That's in Ephesians 6 and 11. And we don't want to be shunned at judgment. We don't want to be the ones that's knocking on the door and says, let me in. I never knew you. Scriptures tells us, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. Be prepared. And God will bless us. We just have to follow. We have repetitions. We need to be able to pay close attention and make it a lifestyle difference to be prepared. Not just here on earth about earthly things, but definitely, definitely about spiritual things. And so, if you are with us this evening, you're not just a Christian, the question is simple.
What must I do to be saved? Understand that God has already done his part by sending his son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, and you, if you so choose, have the opportunity to follow his glorious plan of salvation, which includes hearing his words, which you have already done this evening, believing his word with all your heart, repent and turn away from your sins and turn to Jesus. Confess that Jesus is Lord, the Son of the living God, and be baptized, fully immersed in the water, and walk in the newness of life, added to God's church, not by vote of man, but God alone, add you to his church. And if you are a Christian and you've strayed away for whatever reason, it's not too late. Our Savior awaits you. His loving arms are open wide to guide you back to his path of righteousness. And if you are in need of prayer, understand that prayer works. Prayer works. Prayer always works. And so, may the God of hope fill you with all the joy and peace in believing that you may abound in the hope and the power of the Holy Spirit. So if you are subject to the invitation this evening, we would ask that you would come forward, have a seat on the first pew, as together we stand and sing the song of invitation. May God continue to bless each and every one of you.
Hark the gentle voice of Jesus, Father, tenderly upon your feet. We in pride of love and pity fallen, turn and listen. Yea, the end of the
come and I will give you rest.